Hello and welcome to the Swole Files podcast. I am Levi Wolf.
And I am Abby Murphy, and together we host this podcast. We decided to make this podcast because we are passionate about the people who work at SoftwareOne.
Between Abby and I, we have 17 years of SoftwareOne experience across a number of different roles and locations, and we love getting the chance to dive deeper into the culture of the company.
This podcast is a behind-the-scenes look at some of our friends at SoftwareOne. We call them SWOMIs. The things they do at work, and even some of their hobbies and activities outside of work.
So whether you're a current employee, a prospective new SWOMI, a SoftwareOne alumni, a customer, a partner, or just a friend of the show,
we hope you enjoy this deep dive into the people of SoftwareOne and the things that make them great.
Enjoy the show. All right. Abby, would you want the honors of kicking this one off?
Yeah, we're back with another episode of the SWO Files, and today we have a very special guest, Diana, with us. Hi, Diana. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Abby. Hi, Levi. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Can you go ahead and for our listeners, can you do a quick introduction? Your name, your role, how long you've been at SoftwareOne?
Yeah, sure. So hi, everyone. My name is Diana. I am the learning experience designer in the SoftwareOne Academy, which means I head the development of our curriculum for all of our programs. I live in Germany in a city called Aachen, and I've been with SoftwareOne for almost a year now, so I'm fairly new.
Well, hey, a year at SoftwareOne, it goes fast. So
right?
We can count that as like 5 years.
That's very true. It almost feels like yesterday.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned here in Germany because it's another international episode. We've had a couple of
love
those.
Love an international episode.
Right.
For a while, we were only interviewing people in the US, and now we have a global reach, which we're quite excited about, which is nice. So I think this is the first person from Germany we've had on, right,
Levi? I think so.
I guess Peter back in the day, but he was technically in Singapore.
Yeah, maybe that's a good starting point. So just to kind of start with that, like we got your name as a recommendation from a previous podcast guest, Serena. She's also in a global role. So maybe tell us a little bit about like how you found SoftwareOne, how you got into the role that you're in.
Sure. It was actually a very lucky coincidence. My previous organization was affected by layoffs. So I was looking for a new challenge. And I read about the SoftwareOne Academy. I was very interested in the mission that they had. I was very interested in the vision and the idea of bridging, you know, the gap between education and employment. So I was very happy when I saw that they had an open role for a learning experience designer. I applied and everything went very quickly. I loved everybody. I think we had great chemistry. So I think between me applying and me starting the new job was like a week.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It was really a very, very nice coincidence. So I'm very happy that happened. And like I said, it feels like I started yesterday. It's been almost a year. But here I am.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Abby.
I would say, you primarily work with the SoftwareOne Academy. And we had Serena on to speak about the Academy. And if I'm not mistaken, the Academy turned 2 this year. So what was like, you know, you've been here as, you know, for about half as long as the Academy. Can you tell us a bit more about the Academy program and where it's come in the last year?
Yeah, actually, I'm very grateful to be part of the Academy right at its, you know, beginning, because we're still in the first years and it still feels a little bit like a startup within the company, but, you know, not really. We've had some great achievements in the last years, both in terms of business impact and in numbers within SoftwareOne, but also a couple of nice accomplishments, like a couple of awards. We received the Merit Award for Best People Development Program of the Year, the Future of L&D Summit Award for Best Onboarding Program. we managed to be finalists in the ALPA Learning Awards for two awards, so for Learning Impact, and Serena was a finalist for the Learning Leader of the Year. So I feel like I really joined at the right time. Things are really, really taking off. It's very exciting, and I'm very grateful to be part of such an amazing team with such passionate people. I feel like everybody in our team is very, very passionate about what we do. And, you know, not everybody gets to have that privilege. So that's why I'm super, super grateful.
I think passion is something we'll circle back on. And I definitely want to hear more about those awards. But let's just assume we've got some listeners out there who are new and they don't know the Academy. So we're throwing around that term and they've never heard of it. Let's help us explain that to someone listening to this podcast. What is the Academy and how does it tie to Software One?
Right. So you can think of the Academy like a corporate university, if you will. I think that's the easiest and shortest way to describe it. But basically, the extended version of the explanation is something that I touched on a couple of seconds ago, which is we bridge the gap between education and employment, which means we look at young talent, fresh graduates, and give them the opportunity to go through a program that will actually give them the skill, the very specific skills that they need to perform in a very specific role within Software One. We have different types of programs, but our most, how should I describe this? Our most popular one, or the one that we have the most learners in, is the AIP, which is the 3-month program. So it's a 12-week program in which people that have recently graduated or career changers that they would like to start fresh, a new career in tech, go through this to these 12 weeks. And by the end of these 12 weeks, they are able to perform an associate level role within Software One. And how that happens is it's a mix of multiple things. It's very experiential. Yes, one thing is content, and content sometimes means self-directed courses, e-learnings. It means training sessions facilitated by our in-house trainer, but it also means shadowing. It also means group activities, individual activities, project work. So we work on different levels to create that learning experience that will allow a 360 view of the role within those 3 months. So by the end of the program, we want to make sure that people are able to be productive in the team that they are joining.
So I got a lot of follow-up questions here. So
I know. You'll have to jump in, and then I'll jump in. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess one more kind of, this is still another bigger picture, kind of high level question, but maybe a little bit on the size and the scope of the Academy. So we've already established Software One's a global company. So tell me about the global nature, and maybe 2 years in, how many people have gone through it so far, roughly, and what are some of the projections of future growth?
Sure. So I think as of now, we are in 16 countries. I don't want to say a number that is not 100% accurate, but I think around 16 countries. We have over 15 different curricula, so learning plans that we adapt regionally and personalize according to different needs. And if I'm not mistaken, by the end of 2022, we had 400 learners that have been through the Academy.
Wow.
Yeah. Obviously, it's a great privilege to be in such a global organization, right? Like you guys were saying, it's also giving the Academy associates a very overwhelming feeling of, wow, I'm really joining a global organization, because we do have a lot of cohorts that run in parallel. So we would have, for example, a cohort running in Colombia, one in India, one in Germany, and we do try as much as possible to bring them together to give them that global perspective. I think it's very fascinating for somebody who hasn't had any previous work experience to suddenly be in this super international, super diverse organization. And we do try to bring that into the experiential part of the learning plan to make sure that, you know, people get an appreciation of how global we really are.
Yeah. And so now of all those learners, now how often is it turning into like a full-time career at Software One? Or I know some of the intent is just let's provide this opportunity and then they can potentially go work elsewhere. What does that look like that those learners, do they typically start a job at Software One or do they, you know, after the experience go elsewhere?
Yes. So we have a 91% transition rate, which means that 91% of our learners do end up with a full-time employment at Software One after the academy. One thing that is very important for the academy is creating business impact. So yes, the learner is very important, but also we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't exist without a business need, right? The academy wouldn't exist without workforce planning, without understanding, you know, what these roles are that we are training people for. And in order for us to understand that, we obviously also need the business needing to hire people. So we make sure that for each learner, there is a job at the end of the academy.
Very cool.
Throughout the 12 weeks, we also have feedback from the business, because they do, like I mentioned, the learners do shadowing and project work, something that we cannot do as academy. It's only, you know, the regions themselves that they can participate in that, or they can allow the learners to participate in. We do get feedback from them on a technical side. We have local academy managers that give business sort of feedback on every participant based on soft skills and behavior and professionalism and attitude. And based on that, we make a decision together with the learner towards the end of the academy if that is going to turn into a full-time employment or not. But we do have very high numbers of people that do stay with us. And it is always connected to a business need. It's always connected to an existing job. So that is actually pretty cool. I always said that it's something that I wish I had when I graduated, right?
Yeah. I love that you even give them that global experience, right, with the different cohorts. And I mean, talk about high growth, you know, that 90% of 400, that's 350 some new employees for Software One. That's really cool. I'm curious too. So like, everything seems very, very intentional from the whole program. Do you have a cultural element that's intentionally built into there, kind of knowing that, hey, 9 out of 10 of these people might end up at Software One? Do you try to work in the Software One culture element to it?
We do. So during the first week, it is a very typical one start week with everything that they need to know about Software One before they kick off the program. So it is very connected to Software One. And also towards the end, we start introducing, you know, performance management, goal settings, how do we get set goals in Software One? So from a curriculum perspective, those are the two that are really very clearly tied to Software One and the Software One culture. But also on a more subtle level, we do have a soft skill business essentials and core consultancy curriculum that is also very connected to how we do things at Software One. So I think those are the elements that we puzzle together from a curriculum perspective. But then again, like I said, the tech mentorship program, so working with people locally, regionally from the team that they will join at the end of the academy, also gives them the opportunity to see how we work and what you know, daily tasks really look like, what the culture is, what the, you know, cultural differences are in each region. There is also one, I can give away some stuff from the curriculum. There's one activity. There's one activity that we run with multiple cohorts, where basically like I said, because we have cohorts that run in different regions, we do take advantage of that and try to introduce it in the curriculum. Each of the cohorts form teams, and they create a presentation on their business culture and or their understanding of business culture based on the region where they come from. And then they present to each other, and they kind of get to understand, A, you know, the broader SoftwareOne culture, but B, also how that connects to the regional differences, which is very interesting. And we always get super nice feedback from the learners because they, A, they've never been faced with a working environment, you know, period, but then also understanding that people in different countries might see things differently, might act differently, meeting cultures might be a little different, because those are some, you know, we operate under the same values, but we also are local in that sense because we are so global. So that also kind of falls into the curriculum, and I think that's very beautiful. So yeah, I think I talked a lot, and I don't remember where I started.
No, it was perfect. Yeah.
So your like role specifically within the academy is learning experience. What does that look like to you? Like, what does your like day to day look like?
Right. Like I said before, we operate starting with a business need. Mm-hmm. Our whole purpose within SoftwareOne is to create business impact. So once there is a need for an academy, say a cohort of 12 associate people in, let's say, in the role of data analyst, associate data analyst, my role is to sit down with the business and understand what a data analyst does in order to map out those skills and like, particular skills to the tasks that the learners will be performing at the end of the academy. And based on that, to kind of reverse engineer into, okay, what does that mean that they have to learn or train in these 3 months? It's a mix of content curation, developing activities, you know, working with our in-house trainer to see how we can adapt his trainings to those specific needs. So learning experience in that sense is more on multiple levels. It's obviously not just content, but content plays a big role. I don't know if that made sense.
Yeah. And is that something where you're constantly kind of tweaking then? Because, you know, you said there's like 15 different curricula at the moment, but like I'm assuming based on that feedback you might make small tweaks as it goes.
Absolutely. And there's always regional differences. While we do have a global framework and we look at things globally, if the business has a very specific requirement based on a specific country or a specific region in terms of a tool that they use, then obviously we will provide the learners with that. So our goal is to make the learners productive from day one after the academy, which means, okay, what should they be able to do? I need to understand what they need to do in order for me to know what to develop or design for them. Yeah,
and that makes sense from, you know, from what Abby and I know about SoftwareOne is that, you know, it's a global company, yes, but the countries do operate a little differently. And so what you might talk to, you know, a service leader in North America who has a different vision of that role, even though the title's the same, than the service leader in Spain.
Right.
So that makes sense. I was going to ask, and this is probably a very difficult question, but maybe just to start the conversation around it, we won a lot of awards and we're nominated for a lot of things. What do you think is kind of the driver behind that? Is it just that this is such a unique program that SoftwareOne has for the size of our global company, or is it truly built differently, or what? I mean, I know that's hard to put your finger on, but
intentionality to it, I think. Yeah, if I had to guess.
I do think it's the intentionality behind it, and I do think it's the way we look at impact, because I honestly think that is the most unique thing. We look at business impact, but also impact on the learner, and also impact on communities and societies. One thing that I didn't mention is We have a designated talent acquisition team that specifically recruits for the academy, which means we have partnerships with community colleges, boot camps, NGOs, so on and so forth. So it's also giving back to society. Having these three different levels, yes, you know, creating business impact and responding to an urgent business need, but also creating a beautiful experience for our learners, for, you know, young talent that will join Software One, and also giving back to society. I think these three elements put together play into the uniqueness of what Software One Academy is.
Yeah, we recorded another episode today, and that guest indicated that sometimes he thinks people have a hard time finding the door to Software One.
Right.
And this, I think, makes that much easier, and it's the accessibility that we're giving to people. The other thing is, it's the 12-week program. It's a paid program, correct? It's not like a
correct
unpaid internship. So this is actually an opportunity for, truly an opportunity for people who maybe want to do a switch in their career to not have to figure out how they're going to get by with no pay for 12 weeks, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So that's very cool.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. 100%.
It's like, Abby, are you having this feeling that like you kind of want to go through with the academy?
I know. I'm like, I want to like, sit through. I want to do the academy. Yeah, like what needs are in the business, and teach me. I love right. to learn. And then put me back into the fire.
Yeah, maybe maybe we'll have to work on like, can we do it part time or something? It sounds like there's a ton of value even to an existing employee.
I think you guys have too much experience if we come to the academy.
She's like, nice try, guys.
I want to shadow it, like maybe just a day, you know.
But you are more than welcome to be tech mentors once we have a cohort.
There we go.
Okay, yeah. Put us on the list. We'll find
out. Amazing. Yeah, that's actually a very, very beautiful thing that we had a cohort in Costa Rica last year or 2 years ago. So the first time we ran that cohort, we had learners that were very happy after they, transitioned into the business. They're still with us. And now full circle, they became the tech mentors for the next program that we ran there. Which I thought was really nice.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, Levi, should we transition into some rapid fire, fun outside of work questions just to get to know Diana a little better?
Yeah, I would love to. You want to, this is your favorite section, so you got to pick it out.
Okay.
What are you into right now? Hobbies, interests, any books, podcasts, TV shows, movies? Like what's on your mind?
Okay. Karaoke. I'm not gonna
karaoke. Oh, love. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh my god, I have a playlist. I can't believe we were discussing this. Yeah, I have a playlist. It's called Singing Fever. And every time I hear a song when I'm out where I think, I could sing this, I just add it to the playlist so that you know when you go to karaoke and you're kind of like, oh, I don't know what to sing. Oh, I don't know what to sing. Yeah. Once you have a playlist, it's easy because it doesn't matter what time of the day or the night it is. You just open your playlist and you're like, DJ, do you have...
Like, play this one, play this
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
I was recently at karaoke with some friends and there was one girl who was just crushing it. And I'm like, Sarah, you're so good at this. She's like, you got to have a list and you got to know your songs. And it's just, I'm like, so, okay, I can appreciate that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Shout out to Sarah.
is your playlist like on Spotify or Apple or anything like that?
I can send it to you.
Search for it. Please do.
I'm curious because I think I've been in different places where karaoke is like super popular and other places that it's not. Is it a pretty... you said you kind of live in a small town, right? Is it a big deal where you are? Like, I mean, do a lot of people like karaoke?
It is because it is a university city. So,
okay.
So there's a lot of students and PhD candidates and whatnot. So, you know, Thursdays are karaoke night here. But nice. I discovered there's a couple of places on Mondays and Tuesdays as well. So I might as well.
Every day is karaoke. Karaoke day, if you know where to go, right, Diana?
Yeah, right.
So maybe just to plan that a little bit. So tell us where you grew up. Like, have you, kind of lived in that area your whole life, or yeah, just tell us a little bit about that.
I'm actually from Romania originally. Okay. I grew up in northern Transylvania. I came to Germany 2015, was it? Okay, yeah, quite some time ago. I originally came to Berlin. So I studied in Berlin, started my career in Berlin, and only recently moved here a couple of months ago. I've been loving it so far. It's a very, very beautiful city.
And the Romanian background, because you explained to us, your name is Diana, but for us looking at it, there's an extra A. And you said that's from your Romanian kind of roots. That's how they commonly spell it.
Yeah, exactly. We, I don't know how you call that when a language is phonetic. I think phonetic would be the phonetic spelling. Yeah. That's where it comes from. And it's funny because outside of Romania, there's not many people that spell Diana like this, but I know at least four other Dianas with an extra A. Oh,
wow. Or a normal amount of A's, depending on where you're located. Yeah, everyone else is doing it wrong.
I've been hearing that I have an extra A for so long, I've kind of accepted it.
No, I like it. It's good. I'm curious too, have you always been in a global role or wanted to be in a global role, or like, because honestly, your English is flawless. So like, has that been something ever since you were a kid, it's been in school, or like, when did you kind of start working on that?
Thank you. No, I've never been in a global role before. I always wanted to. I think honestly, my English comes from watching a lot of TV as a kid. Sure.
And what are your favorite shows to watch?
Oh my God, Friends.
I was going to say, it's got to be one. Friends.
Yeah. And movies and series are not dubbed in Romania. So I would always watch them in the original language, which I think helps a lot with getting used to how people pronounce things. Mm-hmm. I would say basically TV has educated me. I hope no kids listen to this.
No, I've actually heard that as advice for like, you know, if we're trying to learn Spanish or something here, that like, yeah, watch TV in that language, watch cartoons or something, because that's a good way to pick it up. So I think that's fair. We can give that as a podcast recommendation.
Yeah. So aside from watching lots of television, what were you like as a teenager? What was Diana like growing up?
Very rebellious, but very good in school, so nobody could tell me anything.
That's the way to do it.
Good combo.
Like, my grades are still good, so you can't yell at me for this.
Exactly. I can go party. I have straight A's. What do you mean?
Best of both worlds.
Exactly.
And cool. You were born in Romania. You've lived in Germany. We've already established that. You speak really good English. So tell us a little bit more about the global piece. Like, have you traveled to a lot of other countries? Do you speak other languages too? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah. So I don't think I travel that often. I definitely used to travel more before the pandemic. I don't know what happened, even though now I can technically travel and, you know, working remotely, I could just, you know, pick up my laptop and go work from Spain for a week. I speak a little bit of Spanish, a little bit of Italian, and a little bit of French. And that is all connected to the fact that my native language is Romanian, because it's also a Latin language. So it's very easy for me to understand other Latin languages. So I used to watch Mexican soap operas without subtitles.
Oh.
Yeah. Also, as a teenager. Again, my Spanish is very limited to whatever was happening in those series. You know, nothing academic or highly intellectual, but yeah.
Levi speaks Spanish. I wonder if he knows any of the telenovela, like conversation type topics.
I can tell you I've never watched the soap operas, but I used to watch SpongeBob in Spanish.
So no, really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I yeah. Can you watch it too.
Can you sing the intro song? in Spanish, Levi?
No, it's been a long time since I've done that. I don't know what the, I'm sure it's the same music, but I don't remember what, what the Spanish intro was, but.
Oh man, yeah. I'll have to go look for that on YouTube or something. Now I have
to. That's hilarious. That's such a good choice too.
Yeah, well, I think the theory is that it's like easier to understand, right? Because it's simple, and if it's a cartoon, then you don't really, doesn't mess you up being in a different language, because you know the voices are different anyways. Like you said, some films are dubbed, whatever. But cool. So what have you, I guess on that travel piece, have you had to travel with Software One? Have you gone to some of the different offices?
Yeah, a little bit. I was in the Prague office. For our, it was the first team meeting that we had after I joined last October, I think. I was in the Wimbledon office when we went to the award ceremony in February. I don't want to miss out anything. Did I?
When are you coming to the Milwaukee office?
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good question. I'm going to ask Serena.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
I'll have to coordinate so that I'm there as well.
Yeah.
I've been needing to plan a visit to the Milwaukee office. So
we'd love to host you, and I'm sure we can find karaoke. So that'll be part of the deal.
Which are you, do you prefer like karaoke where it's like everyone can see you, or do you like to get like the little private room with just your friends?
Oh no, everyone should see me.
Okay. Yeah, that'll help narrow down where we would take you.
No, there should be a stage.
Perfect. I love it.
There used to be this awesome bar in Berlin where they had a band once a month, and you had
fun,
and they had like 3 pages of songs that they could play, and you could sign up obviously in advance because everybody wanted to, you know, sing karaoke with a band. It was awesome. You would really feel like a rock star.
Probably that's so cool.
Wouldn't sound like a rock star, but who cares?
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
That's how you feel. Love it.
Let me stick on the TV theme for at least one more. So what about like current day? First off, what language do you watch TV in nowadays? And what's a good show that you're watching?
That is a very good question. Oh my God. If I will be very honest, my latest and most, well, proudest view was Indian Matchmaking.
Oh, okay. On Netflix, right?
Yes. It's so
good. Haven't started it, but it's like in my queue, so I'm like, okay, I have to go watch it. You like it though?
I loved it, and I made all of my friends watch it, and they all love it.
You heard it here first, guys. Go watch Indian Matchmaking, streaming on Netflix. And then ping Diana, and you guys can, we'll start a little like instead of a book club, it'll be like a TV watch club.
Yes, that would be fantastic. I would rewatch it, no problem. But I do watch, I watch it in English. I watch TV in English. Unless it's now, I mean, now that I've lived in Germany and, you know, sometimes I watch stuff in German. If it's originally in German, but I don't like to watch it dubbed. Everybody here watches it dubbed though. It's a thing.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've covered a lot of ground. I mean, Abby, anything else on your mind?
No, nothing on my mind. Is there anything, Diana, that you want to share or want listeners to know about you or the Academy?
Oh, that's a good question.
So
to the pod.
Yeah, while you think about it, like just going back, I mean, we did talk about a lot of awards that you've won, kind of. I think it even helped us as, you know, long tenured members of Software One kind of understand the global reach and kind of the nature of what the Academy is. The 91% placement rate is awesome. So yeah, I mean, I think there's been a lot of covering, but if there was something more specific about any of those awards or things you've done, like we can definitely go back to it. Covered it good.
Yeah, I think we covered it.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Well, then thank you so much for being on. It was such a treat to get to meet you and have you join us and continue to make our podcast global.
Yeah, we appreciated it, and definitely would be fun to connect, whether it's you come into the Milwaukee office or there's next time there's a kickoff event somewhere. Like, we'll have to try to make it happen.
I would love it. Thank you so much for having me, guys. This was so much fun.
That's been another episode of The Swell Files. Music, editing, and mixing by Brandon Avenger.
And we love to hear from you, so send us your feedback and future guest recommendations. We're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, so be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode.